You're pointing at me. What are you pointing? You just.
I'm pointing at you to tell you that the mic is live, Clinton.
Oh, I know the mic is live, but I thought you were going to run the. I thought you were going to run our opening.
Our legally
required opening now.
Well, do you understand that the mouse for the legally required opening is on your side of the board?
Oh.
Yeah, that's why. That's the vigorous
is
pointing.
That it?
And
oh,
yes.
See. Communication, it's the most important thing in any relationship. So what you're saying is that I should do something like this.
Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Yeah, good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, a show about local art. I am the one they call Clinton, a master of radio sound engineering, and I'm here.
Yeah, okay.
I'm here with my support group, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
How are you this morning?
I feel so supported, so uplifted.
So loved.
Love has lifted me up where I belong.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day.
And now it's come plummeting down again.
You don't like Valentine's Day?
Actually, I appreciate Valentine's Day considerably because I think it's a very important day where it motivates people to spend a lot of much needed money for local businesses and a lot of leisure shops that depend upon this day to make considerable amounts of sales that will help them through the usual slump time, which is the winter months.
I hate Valentine's Day.
Ah,
I hate Valentine's Day only because. If you actually love someone, you should not need a day on the calendar to tell you to express it.
You have very different relationships than the rest of us, don't you?
I do. I do. I don't do Valentine's Day. I don't do anniversaries. It's like, you know what? If you can't do it the other 364 days of the year, don't come at me with flowers on February 14th. No, we're not playing it.
Well, you know what we do here? We do parental advisories. And so we're going to start the show with a parental advisory for those of you who might be parentals, whether intentional or accidentals. We have an advisory for you. At some point in this show, we may say the word masticate. Masticate. We might talk about mastication. That we'll try not to. It's a scary thing. So if you've got the young and impressionable, or maybe even the young and restless that you've just brought back from the general hospital. And you're...
As they're going through the days of their lives?
As they're going through the days of their lives. Before the world turns just a bit more, you should usher them out of the room before they have to ask you about the details of mastication. You've been advised. You've been advised.
Wow, that sounds very eerily like another word that we're not allowed to use on the radio. I'm glad your pronunciation was up this morning, Clinton.
My pronunciation is always paramount. Let's turn to our first guest. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am here. We are here with Teresa Stewart and Irene Cash of the Crimora Players. Welcome to Homegrown, show about local art.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
There you go. So, please tell our audience if they don't know and why and how could they not know? Tell them about the Crimora Players.
Well, we've been working together since 1995. We're amateurs, really amateurs, but we have a good time, and so do our audiences.
And so, where is Crimora, Virginia?
Cremora is a community about 7 miles north of Waynesboro, intersection of Route 340 and Route 612.
I was so pleased to run across your theater because I was looking for things and I was looking around and I said, wait a minute, what? I've never heard of these people. there's a theater that's right across our doorstep that I've never heard of. How could that have happened?
We're a well-kept little secret. We actually are, we work out of the Cremor Community Center, which used to be the Cremor Elementary School, which a bunch of us actually went there as children. So now we're using the auditorium and stage for our production area.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. So did you have to do any adjustments to the production area, to the stage, or did you, are you using it pretty much the way it is? Like, do you when the audience comes in, do you assign seats for them?
No, we make them sit on the floor like you used to do in elementary school. No, actually, we have a dinner theater, so we have tables and chairs, and it's like when you come in, you pick your spot that you want to sit at. So it's first come, first served on the seating, and then we feed them a nice meal, and then before they fall asleep, we put on the show, and it's always a comedy, so we keep them awake.
So, amateur community dinner theater. Whose concept was that?
That would be Irene's.
Well, it really wasn't mine alone. A lady in our church, Patsy Wood, came up with the idea of doing a comedy, and we enjoyed it so much, we just kept it up.
Well, that's awesome. So, so how many shows do you guys do a year?
We do four.
That's really great for dinner theater. That's a lot of, that's because dinner theater, that's a whole nother arm that goes into it. I mean, because, you know, Clinton and I are theater people. We know what it takes to put on a show, but adding the whole food side to it. So do you guys prepare the food yourselves? Like, how do you, or do you have partners in the community that do that for you? How does that work?
We're a one-stop shop.
We do it all.
There was just there. I wish you guys could have seen it. There was just this moment where there was an intake of breath. The eyes sort of went up into the head, and we who have done theater recognize that moment so well. That moment of help. Help! What is this? What is this help thing that you speak of? Oh, how quaint!
Well, we actually do have several ladies and a couple men that do come in, and they'll come in just to help with the cooking on Friday mornings or Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings, and then some of the guys will come in the evening and help with the serving and cleanup for us, so we don't have to lug the trash bags out.
Oh, that's nice. So. I always say, you know, manual labor, man is right in there. They're supposed to do it.
Supposed to and doing are two different things.
Well, yeah. But I'm glad you have a couple of them that will at least offer. That's great.
We do.
I tuned out. I was busy sitting in the corner watching football, you know, eating potato chips and waiting for someone to bring me a sandwich. Did I miss anything?
Clinton! Get in here and do your job. Man's job. Kill spiders, take out the trash, and fix things.
We use them all for that.
Yeah.
So what is the show that you have coming up?
You want to tell them?
Go ahead.
It's a comedy. The name of it is Buckshot and Blossoms. It's a Western comedy.
Oh, my.
And we have... I think around 18 characters, which some of them we have doubled.
Wow, that's a huge cast.
For our little stage, yes.
So what's the, I've never heard of the show, so what's it about?
It's a typical Western town with your bad guys and the new sheriff and... all your typical characters in an old Western town. It's trail dust. And it's in the Arizona Territory. So it's Western.
And we have two women on their little crusade to outlaw guns in the Old West.
Well, wait a minute now. Wait. So now we have a very political turn to this very quaint Dinner Theater over the mountain.
I mean, you're holding back on this here.
Right?
Yeah, we, once we picked this play and that we decided we were doing it, then it was like, oh, we opened up a can of worms.
But that's okay. I think that's a can that, you know, needs to be opened. That's awesome. So 18 people, and all of your cast members are from the Cremora community?
No. We now have people from Stewart's Draft, Verona, Grottoes, Fishersville, all over.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay, so Clinton, you and I are going to have to go see this one.
We are?
Yeah, we're going to have to go see this one, and that means that we have to get you a cowboy hat.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
A big black one with a wide brim.
Doesn't it make me the bad guy, though? I mean, aren't I going to be chased out of town?
And that's different from your regular life.
Fair point.
Okay. So when does the show open?
Friday, February 19th. The doors open at 5:30, and we actually start eating at 6:30.
Wow. Yes, Clinton, we have to go. Will you go with me?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Well, if you can't make it Friday, we're there Saturday night also, or Sunday afternoon.
Great. So you guys... So it's only playing for one weekend?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody, get your calendars out. Mark this down. I mean, a Western comedy about gun control. I cannot. And you get dinner, too. Who wouldn't go to this? This is so great. So how long have you guys been up and running?
Since 95.
So you do 4 shows a year since 95.
Well, there was a few years we didn't do 4, but a few years after that, we started doing 4 a year.
So you always do comedies. Do they always have a theme?
Just whatever we can find that we like.
Oh, okay. So do you guys have, like, a reading committee that chooses the plays, or do you just... They're laughing. This is not a good sign.
Other people? What is this other people thing?
We have a committee of 3. Me, Irene, and Bobby Wright.
All right. That's a committee. That's enough for a quorum. Okay.
And then some days it's, I like this one. I'm ordering it. I have the money.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you have to watch her.
Oh. Okay. Through the community theater. We're doing this. Everybody else be quiet. Okay, so you choose your plays by committee. If someone wanted to suggest a play, would you be open to that?
Wait a minute. What are you doing here?
I'm asking a question.
Are you weaseling yourself in?
No, I'm not.
To yet another artistic enterprise in the area?
I'm just asking.
Okay, fine.
If it's a comedy and it's family-oriented, we are open to suggestions, yes.
Awesome. That's cool. For me, we do have other theater friends that might be looking for, you know, a new place to construct their stuff. I'm just saying. You know, I'm trying to move some business their way here. Jeez.
We also don't do auditions. Mm-hmm. We just, if we have a part, it's like, ooh, that sounds like so-and-so. It's like, are you willing to be in a play?
Oh, okay, yeah. So you do the same thing I do when I'm casting. I just corral people and say, no, you're going to do this. Come on, it's okay.
Yeah, we've done that once or twice.
Once or twice? Real often, we'll hand them a part, or we won't even hand them a part. We'll say, are you available for the play? And they'll say yes, and we give them the part later.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
Yeah, let's try that. Okay. If we only have one working mic, then we have a working show. How are we doing there? Okay, yeah, that's working. So, hi. If you're joining us again, it is, 18 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art. And for some reason, we are one mic down, but that's one mic that's enough. We're here with Irene Cash and Teresa Stewart from the Cremora Players over in Cremora, Virginia, just north of Waynesboro. So, there is an additional aspect of your theater as well. There is a community service aspect, right? Can you talk about that?
Sure. All of our all of our dinner theaters, we are raising funds and we disperse them to somebody in the community that is having some kind of a medical need or other financial need. Or once in a while, we actually put the funds back into the Cremora Community Center, which is the old Cremora Elementary School and needs refurbishing. So every once in a while, we put the money there, but majority of the funds we raise go to somebody in need.
That's amazing. And has that been an aspect of your of the theater since the beginning?
The very first show we did for fun, and after that, we began doing benefits for people. We started with the fire department, and from then on, mostly individuals.
Cool. And so is there a beneficiary for Buckshot and Blossoms?
Yes, it's for a 19-year-old young man named Dakota Falls, who is actually in UVA right now. We actually did a play for him back in 2008 for a double lung transplant, I believe, and he is now having some complications with his esophagus. He's on a total feeding tube program right now. He's not allowed to eat anything until they straighten out his esophagus and his lungs.
Wow. That's so great. I mean, we have had guests here before. And it's so interesting to see I cut myself off there. Of course, we've had guests before. It's so interesting to see the different things and the different ways that people use art. Some people use it just for entertainment. Some people use it for personal expression. Of course, also some people use it as a community service and to benefit beneficiaries. In fact, I think it's really shocking how many people we see using art to do that. We just had somebody in here a couple weeks ago who was going to do an art auction and use the proceeds to benefit a support group for the Charlottesville Police Department. How do people react when you go to them and say, we want to do this show and have you as a beneficiary?
Oh, varying ways. Lots of times it's just total disbelief that somebody would do that for them, that the community would even rally behind them. Some people we don't want charity per se, and then after you explain to them what the program's about, they're all for it. We had one gentleman that he was really against it at all, and his wife convinced him it was okay. We wanted to do it for them. But he made sure they gave us a written account of every dime that they spent.
Oh, my goodness.
But we don't require that at all.
All right. Well, Teresa, Irene, thank you guys very much for coming on the show. Please tell our audience once again, what's the show, when is it, and where is it they can see it?
You're there.
Okay, it's called Buckshot and Blossoms. It's next weekend, February 19th through the 21st. Friday and Saturday, dinner starts at 6:30. The doors open at 5:30. Sunday, it starts at 1:30. The doors open at 12:30. And if they have email, they can email cremoraplayers@yahoo.com to get tickets. And there's a Facebook page called Cremora Players. They can check that out and get some more information.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. 22 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art. I think it is time to go through some of the local art that you can hear in our local area. Currently running now until February 27th. It's The Other Place at Live Arts. This play, a former Broadway play, features a brilliant neurologist who begins to lose her memories due to Alzheimer's. Today, at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, the Central Branch, you can see Jack et le Mécanique de Coeur, Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart, presented at 2 o'clock in collaboration with the UVA French Film Festival. Also today is OK Stupid, an improv show by Big Blue Doors, Brian Weisbrod, Nader Namaki, Max Hooker, and Joel Jones at the McGuffey Art Center. Also today, surprisingly enough, more things going on today. Free Love, a Valentine's Day love-in with music by Annabeth McNamara, Local Chocolate, and Cider, all at the Ix Art Park. February 18th, speaking of Big Blue Door, it's the Big Blue Door Improv Night at Seaville Coffee. Also on February 18th, it's the LYAO Comedy Open Mic Night, hosted by Chris Allen at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. February 26th, our boys and women at Bent Theater are performing at the Bridge PAI. Go check out some Charlottesville improv. February 27th, it's Winter Songs, a youth choir fundraiser for the Shelter for Help and Emergency at the Monticello High School. Speaking of using art to benefit others. And let's talk about just some of the musical activities that you can avail yourself of in our wonderful community. Today, it's Love Fest, a special Valentine's Day show featuring Devin Sprawl at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. February 18th, Lady Taj, V.A. Doe, Easy Loke, and DC3PO, and our boys Spit It Out, Inc. at the Ante Room. Also on February 18th, Alex Mendenhall plays at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. The next day, February 19th, at the Ante Room, it's the Soul Shakedown Party with Mighty Joshua and the Zion 5, Buddha Council, DJ Seth Tech. Go check those out. February 20th, I feel sorry for all of us on February 20th. So many things that can happen. So many things that we can go to. Are you ready for them? February 20th, the Sally Rose Band plays at the Whiskey Bar. The Charlottesville Symphony welcomes back pianist Gleb Ivanov at UVA to play Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3. Why? Because Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2, it's just for punks. Punks and suckers. And I think that is an actual quote from Gleb Ivanov. It's not. It's not an actual quote from Gleb Ivanov. He was too busy with a scone, engaged in mastication. He couldn't be bothered. Also February 20th, Benny Dodd Band at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery and Glass Betty at Heritage on Main. I don't know how I can make a choice. I don't know how you're going to make a choice. But there's still more. Every Monday, of course, it's the singer-songwriter at the local. Every Wednesday, Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. Also every Wednesday, it's the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And also on Thursday at Miller's, it's the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And that is just some of the wonderful, wonderful art in our wonderful, wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and have an event and want us to tell people about it, please tell us so we can tell people. www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email it to us at homegrown947@gmail.com. 26 minutes past the hour, and we are here soldiering through technical difficulties and turning to our next guest, Emily Morrison, from the Roots, from the Front Porch Roots Music School. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming here. Thank you for dealing with the solo mic situation.
No problem.
So, tell us about the Front Porch.
All right. We are a Roots Music School and performance venue located on Pantops. We offer lessons and classes in a lot of different kinds of instruments. And we have actually a lot of dancing happening at the Front Porch now. There are swing dances, contra dances, and square dances that are happening. There's some dance happening virtually every week now at this point. That's the thumbnail sketch. You can ask me more questions if you want to hear more.
That's the quick and dirty of it all. Yeah. So do you have to refurbish the floors after so much dancing going on? I'm sorry. That's a silly question.
No, it's not silly at all. We might have to after a while, but no. We have nice wood floors that are perfect for dancing.
How long has Front Porch been going on?
This is actually our first year. So starting in February of last year, 2015, we started the Front Porch out of my house in Belmont. And we just started running lessons and classes out of a music room that we have in the back of our house to see if it was an idea that people would be into in Charlottesville. And it turns out people really were. And so we outgrew that space. And through the summer, we ran a concert series up at Ashlawn Highland where we promoted local artists and local food and local drink. And meanwhile, we participated in the iLab, which is a small business incubator program at Darden. And through that, we set up our nonprofit. So that was a full-time program that I and one of my partners participated in and gathered a board and got all of our ducks in a row, so to speak.
So wait.
Yep.
Are you telling me that the big, powerful business heads at Darden allowed a not-for-profit or a nonprofit into the business incubator?
They did, and they were amazing with us. The iLab is definitely set up for for-profit enterprises, but they were so supportive and helpful, and they pushed us in all the right directions. And in many ways, I think it was a benefit to us because they helped us figure out how to set it up smartly. All nonprofits also need to be smart business operations. We got a lot out of that program in that regard.
Wow, I'm going to have to think of other adjectives other than amazing and awesome, because I'm told by some of our listeners that I hit amazing and awesome a lot. But it's still, that's kind of, it's surprising. There we go. Wow, that's surprising.
Oh, my goodness. The wordsmith is out of words. Yes, this is a red letter day.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I don't know what we're going to do. We might have to retire Clinton for the rest of the show. He's out of words. It's a talk show. What are we going to do? How do you get the word out about your school? I mean, because I've lived in Charlottesville for a long time. I don't anymore, but anyway. So how do you get the word out? Where can people find out what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, since we are a nonprofit, we do have to be careful with our marketing dollars. And so we do a lot of work on social media. We really work on word of mouth. I have a big email list, and people can sign up on our email list on our website. We have a website that's details all of the events that are coming up at our school, www.frontporchseville.org. And then we do a limited amount of paid advertising. And radio is part of that, but it's mostly social media, to be honest.
So how did this start? Did it start with a love for teaching? Did it start with a love for roots music? Did it start with a moment where you looked around and said, you know, there just aren't enough people playing with banjos around here? That's something that needs to... Did you get one banjo joke too many and you're like, that's it. That's it. By the end of the year, everyone's going to have banjos. No more banjo jokes.
So it really started with a love of music and a love, and I'm an educator. So, and I also grew up in Southern Virginia around this kind of music and in a family that plays a lot of music. So it was kind of the kismet of all of those things. But I think
speaking of the music, could you define what does roots music mean in this context, specifically what we're talking about?
Yeah, so we really try to be as open as possible, because to me, the roots music of the people who live in Charlottesville is diverse and has lots and lots of layers. What we teach at our school primarily is old-time music that originates in the central Virginia and Appalachian mountains, bluegrass music, which is a sort of modern evolution of that in country music, and in many ways, bluegrass itself is a hybrid. We teach the blues, and we have a weekly blues jam. We have a We have a blues guitar teacher who specializes in Piedmont-style guitar playing, Piedmont blues. We have lots of workshops with many different kinds of blues players. We have a classical piano teacher who teaches lessons in our school. We have in the past offered cello lessons. We don't have cello right now. We have mountain dulcimer. We have a number of different singing and dancing classes for children that are both connected to what we would consider traditional music, but also we offer the kinds of music and dance opportunities that bring the traditional styles into the modern world. So by saying this, my goal with the Front Porch is to make sure that all people are represented. And we try to do that as much as we possibly can. In fact, I'll put one more plug. We're getting ready to start a music and dance class for children who are coming to us from the International Refugee Committee, who have been resettled to Charlottesville. And we're really excited to bring them the music that we teach at the Front Porch. And we're also excited for them to share the songs and maybe even the dances that they bring to us from their countries of origin.
Wow. So is it fair to say that your understanding or your conception or your concept of roots music will evolve and will change as the community in Charlottesville revolves and changes?
Absolutely. And in many ways, I think that definition needs to be as open and sort of non-rigid as it possibly can, because I think what we see in the music world now is that all music is a hybrid, is a fusion of, we stand on the shoulders of giants and we want to honor those soldiers, but we also want to honor the incredible creativity and innovation that lives in the world of music right now.
So isn't there a bit of a tension here? Because I hear two things that you're talking about, that one, it's really refreshing to hear you acknowledging how much music and how quickly and easily musical styles become Mulligan stews, right? This practice will take from this, mm-hmm. and we'll take from this, and then suddenly it becomes a thing, and then that thing gets taken from by something else and by something else, these hybrids that you're talking about. And at the same time, once they become a thing, to go and to teach them, isn't there a risk of sort of reifying a rigid structure, reapplying that rigid structure that you were just saying?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if risk is the right word. It might be an opportunity in many ways. It's hard to get down to something that's pure and isn't the hybrid of several strands. I mean, even old-time music, which is gorgeous and has a beautiful history and an enormous vibrant community that plays it in this area, is really also a hybridized style of music that came to us from the Scotch-Irish immigrants who settled in the Appalachian Mountains, as well as African slaves who brought the banjo to us. And there are all sorts of influences in that music that comes to us from particular individuals who were innovators in their time. So there's nothing pure or sacred to me. This is just my opinion. More, it's important to honor the past and where this music comes from and really see it for what it is, not just for the stereotypes that it might bring up, and then see where it takes us as creative people, because all music exists in the moment. And that moment is a moment of creativity. I want people to have access to that kind of opportunity in Charlottesville.
Do you ever have cross-pollinations between the different styles that you've got going on? Do you ever have sort of cross-style group jams?
Absolutely. We have several Anything Goes jams. Our Monday night bluegrass jam is really an Anything Goes jam. I can't think of anyone who comes to the Front Porch to play music who wouldn't be happy to try something new. That's of that I am sure. We had a wonderful workshop series and performance a couple months ago where we had an Irish It was an Irish flute player, Matt Olwell, who comes from a long and storied family of Irish musicians who lived down in Nelson County. And he brought a band with him that included vocal percussionist or beatboxer. And it was insane. I mean, they just blew the roof off the place. It was this incredible fusion of sort of hip-hop beats with Irish music and singer-songwriter sensibility. It was awesome.
That's great. That's great because, of course, there's a long history in the United States of Irish music coming in and meeting African African and African-American music. And the two,
yeah.
I mean, not a lot of people know about this. And, in a way, I think there are certain people who don't want to talk about it. But, yeah, there's been a lot of fusion mm-hmm. between them. In fact, I've even heard I don't know if this is accurate, but I've heard somebody say that's kind of where tap dancing came from. This meld of dancing styles.
Yeah, in fact, the way I got to know Matt Olwell is I saw a show that he did with his wife up in the D.C. area called The Meaning of Buck Dance, and it blew my mind. And so, buck dance is a historically African American dance that. There's just a few little videos. There are a few little videos that are available about it. So these dancers, together with their company, put together a piece that showed the history of dance. And really what they're showing to me as an audience member was the connection of modern street dance with African dances that came over with slaves, with tap dancing as it evolved from what we call flat footing in the place where I come from. And as these dances sort of hybridized, you saw all these different incredible street dances emerging in places like Memphis, which I actually didn't know until I saw that piece, that is a huge hotbed of dance creativity, street dance creativity. And they showed videos and then live demonstrations of how the dance evolved over time. It was a beautiful piece. I was so moved. I called him up. I was like, we got to get you down. And he brought this beatbox Irish hybrid music to us. So that's what the front porch is all about.
It's a great thing for the front porch to be all about. Mm-hmm. I tell you know what it makes me think of? There's, believe it or not, Martin Scorsese's film, The Gangs of New York, mm-hmm. Which a lot of people poo-poo, and I am not one of them. There's one really cool brief moment because Scorsese himself, he also does documentaries, he's a bit of a historian, and there's this one really cool scene where it's just a shot of this we assume Irish immigrant, this young European American man playing a Celtic tune on a fiddle while a young African American man is doing some type of clog or step dancing mm-hmm. to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you see step dancing in schools, it's really similar to what we call clogging or flat footing that comes from Southwest Virginia, and it's because those two forms actually co-influenced each other.
So the students that you have at the school, are they, is what kind of age range are we talking about? Are they mostly kids? Mm-hmm. Do you also have adults? What?
Yeah, we say that we have students from the age of 2 to 92, and actually we could have kids younger than that and older than that. So really we offer lessons and classes for all ages.
And is it multi-generational within the class, or do you have an adult track or in a kids track? What?
So most of our classes are on tracks. Most of our classes, if you're going to take an intro to guitar class, I would advertise it for kids or for adults. But we do have some classes that are intergenerational. Pete Vigor teaches an old-time ensemble on Monday afternoons, and there are around 10 people in that class, and it is truly multi-generational. There are children, there are people who have retired, there are UVA students, and everywhere in between in that one class.
So you've already said that you've got an education background. Are you yourself also a musician? And if so, what, where?
Yes, I am a musician. I play the piano, and I'm a singer, and I'm a student of the clawhammer banjo. I play with my family.
Are you taking clawhammer lessons at your own school?
I actually started taking clawhammer lessons from Pete Vigor, who's one of our fabulous teachers. And I'm not currently taking clawhammer because I also have a full-time job as the admissions director at Tandem Friends School. So I'm a busy lady. And I wish I had more time to play the banjo, but I am in a band.
Are you saying that you have a day job as well as doing something?
Can you imagine?
We have no...
No, we don't know what that's like at all. I mean,
balancing a real job with creativity? No, we don't do that. We create all day, all night, all the time, 24/7. That's what Clinton and I do.
Homegrown is brought to you by the Sarcasm Council, the National Sarcasm Council, providing sarcasm for so many of your needs.
So what's the next hybrid that you're thinking about bringing? Because I wish I had known about the one you were talking about with Irish and hip. That's so
awesome.
Great. And I'm getting ready to direct a Shakespeare piece, and I'm bringing hip-hop into it and trying to find hip-hop artists to actually come and be kind of a choir. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Shakespeare, everybody box at Shakespeare because of the language. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if I can bring hip-hop artists in to be a choir, mm-hmm. and kind of and after certain scenes they do a freestyle rap and kind of explain where we are in the story, mm-hmm. then it might become more palatable to a younger audience. So what's the next hybrid? Like, I can't wait. What is it?
Well, one of the things that we love doing is promoting local musicians. And so this summer, we're going to be hosting a music series again. We did this last summer, and we'll do it again this summer. On second Tuesdays, we'll have a concert series up at Ashlawn Highland. And one of the things I'm going to be looking for are these kind of acts that bring a modern sensibility to traditional music so that we can honor where we're coming from and then also honor the innovation and creativity of the artists who are living amongst us in Charlottesville today. So if any of you are out there listening and you're interested in participating in this music series, it's a really beautiful venue, and it's we try to make it as family friendly and fun as we can.
Hi, I'm Russell Richards, and you're listening to Homegrown on WPVC.
All right. Stay tuned after this. And for, of course, our friends at the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call today, it is Sean McCord with his guest, Goddess L, talking about some sort of regional, small, I think it might be a national holiday that's going on today. I don't know. I don't engage in such things. Anyway, after that, of course, at 4 o'clock, it's Club del Sabor con DJ Nitro, El Mercenario. El programa de radio única producida localmente en español en Charlottesville con la música de Latino America, or America Latina. Sorry about that. It's interesting that you mention local artists, because I was thinking there's such an interest in roots music, mm-hmm. Among so many local artists. I was wondering if there was ever a cross-pollination that way. Because I know, looking at your website, you've got a number of artists who are working as teachers.
That's right.
I wonder if you ever bring in artists, or if there's ever any dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There is. It happens all the time. And we're fortunate to have a teaching staff that also works as professional musicians in the area. So we're always trying to promote them as much as we possibly can. So yes, absolutely, there's a dialogue. Yeah.
Cool. Great. Great, great, great. So when do classes start? If somebody wants to get on board, how do they...
So we're just finishing up a session of our winter session, and our spring session will be 8 weeks long. It'll start on March the 14th. Those classes will be available for registration later this week, and we encourage all people to check us out on our website. This is truly a home for beginners, and what we want to do more than anything is provide a safe place for people to come and play with other people. So it's not just about taking a private lesson and then going home and plucking away at your instrument all by yourself, but showing up for a jam or coming to a dance and participating in the act of making music in the moment.
Yeah, it seems like there's a large community component to this. Do you see the community aspect of it as being specific to roots music, or because even just the name, the front porch, mm-hmm. draws this image of, you know, a bunch of people sitting around mm-hmm. Not just a bunch of people sitting around on their own front porch, but a bunch of people sitting on the front porch and a bunch of other people sitting around listening to them and just enjoying it. Is that something that you see as particular to roots music, or that is endemic to music in general?
Oh, I think it's endemic to music in general, for sure. I do think that in many ways the porch is the birthplace of American music. It is a distinctly American idiom.
Interesting.
And we see all manner of styles of American music being played among family members and friends and neighbors on porches throughout, especially the South, but all over our country.
Oh, those poor northerners.
No, I shouldn't say that, but I do kind of think that.
What do they do without porches and porchable weather?
They do have lovely porches in the north, and I'm sure they play music on them all the time.
Yeah, I don't think so, not so much. So we interrupt you. So you're a pianist, you're a singer. What style of music is your style, or do you even believe in like labels, man?
So I grew up in a musical family, and we do play together. I have a couple brothers who are musicians in Charlottesville. I'm married to a musician. My husband's brother is a musician. My parents are musicians. And in fact, this whole family band is playing a performance down at the Harvester Performance Center in Rocky Mount, Virginia in about a month. We do play a very little bit around here at various church functions and parties. From time to time, we'll play. But mostly, we just play for fun.
And, you know, I think that's probably not different than most people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hope so. No, you play it as penance. Wouldn't that be the greatest Catholic, the greatest confessional thing? Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. I've had some impure thoughts. I bore false witness against some people. All right, my son, go out and learn an Irish reel and three Joni Mitchell songs. Three Joni Mitchells? Isn't that kind of harsh, Father? You came to me. That's your penance. I might go to that church. All right. Thank you so much for coming to see us. Could you please tell people, well, once again, when the sessions are going to start, when the spring session is going to start, how they can get in touch with you, and where the front porch is?
Great. Yes, absolutely. The next session starts March the 14th. You can go to our website, www.frontporchseville.org, to learn more and register for classes. We are located on Pantops Mountain, exactly between Mountaintop Montessori and the CarMax dealership, right across the street from Styx, who is one of our lovely sponsors.
Emily Morrison from the Front Porch Roots Music School, thank you so much. Homegrown, now you know. All right. It is 50 minutes past the hour, and you've been listening to Homegrown, a show about local art, soldiering on despite technical difficulties. Thank you for hanging with us. We've now come to that part of the show that you know. It's Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Why, thank you, Clinton. Those of you who know me know that I have a thing for Nina Simone. She was an amazing artist. She was incredibly talented and versatile. She wrote, sang, played piano, and had one of the most unique voices I think I've ever heard. If you haven't heard it, it's a combination between Tina Turner and Janis Joplin. Like, she was the most amazing artist that I think ever lived. But there's another reason I'm so fond of her. She was an artist who stood up. She used her voice and her talent to support and further the civil rights cause. She did so to her detriment. She lost gigs, money, and in the end, she left the country so she could support herself and her family. Even in the throes of tremendous emotional pain, she performed three freedom songs. That is an artist using her voice, her talent, to support and further the education and uplift of her people. Fast forward to Jada Smith and Beyoncé. Now, don't get me wrong. I like them both. Jada's a talented actress who I think hasn't really been given anything to sink her teeth into. Beyoncé may not have the most mesmerizing voice of all time, but she's a businesswoman. I mean, she took a small amount of success and parlayed that into a mega business. While I totally agree with Jada's rant about the Oscars, I think it was motivated by the fact that she thought Will should have received a nomination for Concussion. And let me tell you, I loved Beyoncé's performance during the Super Bowl. Loved it. I loved her homage to the Black Panthers, who, by the way, more than deserved it. The Panthers was a grassroots organization that protected, educated, and stood up for their people when they realized the established government and police forces weren't going to.
Black power!
My problem with both of them is that they waited until they could get something out of it before they stood up. Jada and Will have their own production company. What have they done to make sure Black filmmakers get their voices heard? Nothing. Beyoncé and Jay-Z own multiple companies, the newest addition being an online music company similar to Spotify. But if you go look at the photo they took on the day they took over, not one Black person working there. Not one. These are two artists who have benefited from the Black community support and have done almost nothing to give back unless it helped them in the process. That is not support. That is using our support to make money. That is taking advantage of hundreds of Black boys and girls whose lives were ended because of the color of their skin to further fatten their bank accounts. And that disgusts me. Nina Simone, Langston Hughes, Harry Belafonte, James Baldwin were artists that used their talents to uplift their people. Those are the people we should admire. Those are the types of artists that we should all strive to be. Jada and Beyoncé are simply two fools who thought they were beyond reach. They thought they were so beloved that the amount of melanin in their skin wouldn't matter. All I can say to that is they should have known better. And all the rest of y'all better stay woke. And that's the Weekly Rant.
Really? Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, my dear Leslie. I do not know what unicorn-filled, rainbow-studded...
Unicorn? What?
Butterflies, hippy-dippy... Come on, all you people now. Climb on your brother, everybody. Get together. Try to love one another. World you have come from. But welcome to ours. It's some place that I like to call reality. I don't know if anybody ever told you, but all of that sharing, caring, doing things for other people, cooperation crap was pulled out during the 80s, walked out into the street, made to kneel down, and shot in the back of the head. The 60s not only over, it is dead, buried, and the ghost of Ronald Reagan dances on top of it. This world today is about getting paid, and every single Black artist out there and knows that and embraces that and lives that. So to go against that means that you're going against modern Black culture in its essence. Narcissistic, self-involved, materialistic, commercially driven, because that, they know, is the way to get heard and to survive. Nina Simone? Who knows Nina Simone?
Everyone should. Everyone should know Nina.
And everyone doesn't because she thought too much about politics and didn't think enough about business and didn't get the type of play that, say, Sammy Davis Jr. did, who didn't think about politics and who sucked up to a big, mean white guy and was able to play all over the place.
Right. Wow. So you want us to celebrate all those soulless, horrible artists that just threw their own people under the bus. That's what you want?
I'm saying
that's what you want.
I'm saying reality is reality.
I'm saying reality can be changed. I am saying that if those amazingly talented people can do that, then the artists of today should be able to do the same thing. And they should want to. It is part of their it's part of what they're there for. I mean, they are living in their million-dollar mansions and driving Maseratis because their Black community supports them. We spend money to buy their wares. They are responsible. They're responsible to us.
Because they produced the product, because they were smart business
and
people,
we buy and the
because
product.
They looked to get paid. The only change that's significant these days is this: is the change in your pocket, baby?
Oh my God, he
that's
really pulled change out of his
is.
Pocket.
That's
whatever
what it is. So I am sorry that Beyonce doesn't have a soul. I'm sorry that she isn't concerned about, oh, the Black Panther Party in any way other than how cute they look when their outfits are reduced to hot pants and tight t-shirts on her dancers. But that's the way she gets to be Queen Bee.
Yeah, and I don't think she's Queen Bee. I don't even think she deserves to be Queen Bee for her voice. I mean, it's nice, but it, you know, it's not an Aretha Franklin. Oh. It's not a Tina Turner voice. Oh. It's not a Nina Simone voice. It's not a Sarah Vaughan voice.
Oh. Oh.
Like,
you're going against Beyonce? Is that what you're going against? You're talking about Beyonce. You're going against Beyonce. That's it.
Never knew you loved her so much.
Talk about going against Black people. See, you say that you love Black people, but no. See, I can't believe it.
Okay.
Every single freaking week.
Oh my goodness. And that's Clinton slamming the door on me again. Sorry, Sean, he almost hit you in the face with that door, didn't he? Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We want to thank our guests, Teresa Stewart and Irene Kaj from Kimura Players. Please go see Buckshot and Blossoms, opening the 19th through the 21st. And we want to thank Emily Morrison from Front Porch Roots Music School. Seriously, you guys need to go check out that. I know I will. All right. Well, that's the end of Homegrown. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you guys next week. Oh,